Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
So hello then, and welcome to this rather different Monday podcast. I'm Maddie Plough, as per usual, and I'm lucky that I've got a whole plethora of guests. We have tipsters Graham Rodway and David Jennings joining us, as well as Paddy Power's Darren Hughes, as per usual. Now, how much can change in a week? We're all in this call from our homes. Coronavirus has suspended racing in Britain. We still have it in Ireland. Let's just talk about the recent landscape of the racing industry at the moment then, because the recent news came through that Dubai World Cup night has been cancelled. I'm not sure how much this was particularly anticipated or not, but that obviously means we're not going to see so many of racing's flat superstars. Guys, I mean, were you expecting it to be cancelled? DJ, I'll go to you first. Is Dubai something you tend to focus on?
Well, like everybody else, I'd obviously keep an eye on it. Was I expecting to be cancelled? Probably. It's a huge meeting with worldwide eyes on it. And I think in the grand scheme of things, they've made the right move. I think Ireland is a little bit different in ways. I thought Brian Kavanagh actually spoke quite well on Look on Sunday morning. And he explained how it's run by the medical services at the race course is run by the Order of Malta. Jennifer Pugh, the IHRB chief medical officer, is employed by the IHRB. So it's a little bit different to other jurisdictions. And his point was that all these ambulances, all these Order of Malta staff, they are ready. When the government says we need these to cope with the coronavirus crisis, when they are needed, racing will stop and we will provide these ambulances and provide all these people to help with the surge. So I think that's a good point. So when that happens, obviously racing will stop. And if it can be done within the guidelines, fair enough. Like it's strange to see what's happening. And, you know, obviously today there's racing at Nace. And in the grand scheme of things, it's hard to get excited about racing when so much devastation is happening all over the world. But if it can be done, then why not?
And you mentioned there for the foreseeable future, Irish racing carrying on until that moment arrives where the resources have to be taken away. I mean, how long do you foresee that being away? Is that going to come sooner or later? Or
I'm completely guessing here, but I'd imagine will there be Irish racing in 2 weeks' time? I'd be absolutely flabbergasted if there was. I think each day they're getting out of it is a massive, massive bonus. And it's been brilliantly run. We've seen all the people tweeting about it. We've seen everybody writing about it. Our own Justin O'Hanlon and Brian Sheeran have been at various different meetings. And the social distancing is working and the procedures are working. But it's just a case of when it actually starts to peak in Ireland, I'd imagine we won't have Irish racing.
Okay, and G-Rod, before we went live on air, you were talking about how you've had to change your sort of punting strategy, obviously, with there being a lot less racing. I mean, how are you finding it just focusing purely on Ireland?
Well, luckily, I do watch probably about as much Irish racing as I do English, because it just sort of comes on, doesn't it, in the background when you're watching your Racing UK or Racing TV or whatever it's called now, you know, and just end up watching it as you go. So I do watch quite a bit of it, but I tend to specialise on sort of decent class handicaps with a lot of older horses in it, really. I don't like to be surprised by improvers. I like to know the form and know that nothing's going to jump out on me and suddenly come up and improve 10 or 15 pounds. And as a result, there is a lot less opportunities to get involved, obviously, because there are less handicaps and certainly less handicaps involving lots and lots of exposed horses. But nevertheless, there are still some about to bet on, and I am betting on them. And it's great to have the racing, but as DJ says, not only Ireland, I think that some of the other jurisdictions that are still racing as well, US and South Africa and Hong Kong and places like that, I think we're all expecting them in the next 2 or 3 weeks to wind down their operations. And it might well be that this is the last gasp bit of racing that we're going to get for a few weeks.
Indeed. Obviously, Nace today, considering it the start of the flat season, how much of the flat season we're going to get is still up in the air. And then just a little bit later on in the show, we're going to have a look through Clonmel's card. We're going to take you through race by race and get the lads' selections. So stay tuned for that. But Darren, I want to go to you now, because obviously it was announced that Paddy Power, I believe, were the first firm to announced their shop closures. The rest followed swiftly after. I mean, how is Paddy Power coping with that, and how's the weekend gone for you guys?
Yeah, I suppose for us, Maddie, we just kind of preempted what we kind of figured was going to happen. I mean, it was pretty inevitable having closed down the shops in Ireland at the end of March there last week, or last Monday previous. It was kind of inevitable we were going to have to close down the ones in England. So we just got ahead of it. And you do what you have to do. Turnover is up online, like compared to last year, slightly, just because there is obviously nothing else to bet on. Like that meeting at Thurles the other day, like it's in, it was multiples of what it had been the year previous. But again, that's just a factor of there being nothing else to do. Yeah, look, it's tough. There's obviously numbers are down massively, but all we can do is keep trucking on. You know yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we can do. That's what we're going to try and do. But hopefully we can raise the spirits a little bit. I said today is the start of the Irish flat season, or we're considering it. So can I ask each of you to pick out an Irish horse to follow for the rest of the season, providing we have it? DJ, anything caught your eye recently?
I was just looking through the markets. It's hard, like, so close to Cheltenham to try and change your mindset. But looking Absolutely. Through the markets for the classics and stuff, like, I don't know, is any classic going to go ahead? I severely doubt it, but if we do get back racing, the one that interests me, especially with Paddy Power, it's 20-1, is KM Pepper for the Oaks. She was unbeaten going into the fillies mile. Like, Jessica Harrington had any amount of brilliant juvenile fillies last season, and Shane Foley and Jessica kind of most of the way had said that they thought KM Pepper was the best, and went into the fillies mile, I think started about 11-4 that day after winning the three starts in Ireland. I just think she didn't handle the dip at all. Just got outpaced and then stayed on again at the end. She was ridden a little bit more patiently than she had been done in Ireland, because she'd made the running a lot in Ireland. To me, she looks a stare, and I think a mile and a half around Epsom will be her cup of tea. So around 20-1 KM Pepper for the Oaks will be my idea of a decent anti-post bet.
Excellent. I must admit, I've been looking around at the anti-post markets this morning, and it is very difficult, as you say, to switch your mindset from one to the other, but we're going to try and do it. Nevertheless, Darren, who's a horse who you think can go well this season, providing we actually have the racing, of course?
The one I'm looking forward to seeing most, Maddie, is probably Mogul for Aidan O'Brien. He's a full brother to my beloved Japan. He got turned over the straight mile in Newcastle in the Diverting Futurity, which is diverted there. But I'd expect more to come from him when he steps up to a mile and a half next year, much like his brother. There's also an unraised two-year-old of Aidan's called Madonna. I saw a few names released there during the week. DJ, you might have seen this as well. Full sister to both Happily and Glen Eagles. You know, the naming conventions that kind of they use in Coolmore, that kind of stood out straight away. So she might be worth following as the season goes on as well, whenever she does get out.
Okay, it's always interesting when they release those names, isn't it? Because often you can pinpoint which ones they've saved for particular horses and so on. G-Rod, what about you?
I feel like doing the big head in hand, you know, because like we do on the podcast on Friday. Would you believe the horse that I was going to tip as my horse to follow for the season is KM Pepper, that DJ has already thrown up? You know, I mean, she, like DJ said, I mean, she just stood out as a horse that would improve significantly over further this season when she was full firm at Newmarket. But seeing as DJ's already stole my thunder, then I'll go for another Jessica Harrington trained juvenile from last season, a filly who obviously she had a real sort of nap hand with all the juvenile fillies last season. Group one winners are plenty, and one of those was Albinia, who won the Marcel Boussac in France and then went on to finish fourth in the juvenile fillies turf at Santa Anita when she was trying to close from a long, long way behind, did particularly well in a race that was really suited to those who raced closer to the pace. So KM Pepper is my main one, even though DJ's stolen it, but Albinia for the other.
Brilliant. Jessica Harrington, it'll be interesting to see how her fast juveniles from last season get on as three-year-olds. Now, before we take a quick break and look at the action at Clonmel, let's review the action from Thurles this weekend. Some really good racing, grade three, and a really nice performance, I thought, from Politesse in the opening maiden hurdle. But let's get your highlights. Darren, I mean, what did you take out of the action on Saturday?
Yeah, Politesse, she obviously stood out. She was a bit very weak in the market, having opened a short price overnight and drifted out to 9-4. She was available, I think, in around 3-1 in the exchanges before the race. But I think, again, probably one of the ones to take out of it was probably Fakieira for Gordon Elliott. Like, people are going to look at him and see a string of twos next to his name, but I just think he's been incredibly unfortunate. And if you get kind of, he could rock up in a week maiden hurdle in around that price again, and I would expect him to win. I don't think he has any issues with his attitude at all. I thought the Cut the Mustard was quite unlucky in the Grade 3 novice chase. I thought she was coming to give 0-10 a bit of a race there. Thousand Potsy, for whatever reason, didn't show up. I'd say the sharp track might have caught him out, but 0-10 obviously did well to win it. And it's ironic because he wouldn't be the greatest jumper himself, and, you know, ones in behind him were the ones that actually ended up falling. So probably, Cut the Mustard and maybe Fakieira going forward would be two that would be worth keeping an eye out. I'd expect them to make amends shortly.
Okay, what about you, DJ?
Yeah, obviously 0-10 was the standout. I think of all the weekend, the two horses, two standout horses were 0-10 and Bally Adam in the bumper at Downpatrick. Obviously, look, he beat Trees, but he beat Trees quite impressively. And obviously, Jamie Codd was struggling to find superlatives after the race. Like, this horse did a piece of work at Navan a couple of weeks ago with all the real good bumper horses. And he was possibly the one that impressed as much as anything. And just things didn't go well at Navan first. The first time out, the ground was desperate. But I'd imagine Bally Adam is going to be really good and add to Shively Park's hand next season. 0-10 is a very good horse. It'll be interesting to see now if they go for the Galway Plate with 0-10, because he's owned by the Mees, and, you know, Annette Mee, they love to have runners at Galway. And I'd imagine that's the race that they're targeting with 0-10. I think his jumping has improved. And to me, I would say he will end up being verging on grade one over fences next season, I'd imagine. And as regards Fakieira, I fancy Fakieira. I wouldn't just be as forgiving as Darren. I think he's a bit of a shit, to be honest with you. He just, like, he got outpaced. Maybe he didn't handle the track, but, you know, I spoke to Lorna Fowler during the previews, and she thought Politess would benefit from the experience, and she was hoping that she would just run well, and Fakieira should have been winning that race. Like, got outpaced, stayed on again. I won't be giving him another chance anyway.
Okay, and what of the Ulster National? Space Cadet sprung a bit of a surprise, but he finally got his day in the sun, beating last year's winner, Amulina, who ran a cracking race. What do we make of that, Darren?
Yeah, good performance. It's a bit frustrating. I think he'd been on people's radars for various races. I think he racked up in the Welsh National, and he racked up there in a Leinster National trial, I think, as well, or something like that lately too. Good for Ben Harvey to get his first win under rules as well. Not sure just how good the race was, but yeah, he did it well, in fairness to him. He jumped well.
Okay, and G-Rod, if I was asking you to take a horse out of the weekend looking forward, who would it be?
In the bumper at Thurles, actually, on Saturday, Major Robinson was quite impressive for Stephen Crawford. And they had Jamie Codd on board, and spotted this horse travelling very, very well through the race. And there was a little bit of argy-bargy coming off the home bend, and they all got in a bit of a mess. And when Jamie Codd just shook the reins at this horse, it really just picked up to go through a gap that it needed to, really, to have any chance of winning the race. And then when he came to win the race, ran so green. He was just head up in the air. I didn't appear to know what he was doing at all. I actually wondered if he was going to get past the leader, Man's Glory. But as usual, Jamie Codd just nurdled him along and then gave him a slap of the whip towards the end. Yeah, a bit of nurdling. And eventually he just forced Major Robinson's head in front near the line. I mean, how good is Jamie Codd? I mean, he would really be one of the better professionals, wouldn't he? I mean, it was a superb ride by Jamie Codd. And I think that Major Robinson's got quite a future. And a horse that keeps annoying me is that for Themistocles thing. Every time I'm back against it, just keeps winning, you know. And I think he won over 2 miles last time. There was up to 2 miles 6. It was up to 2 miles 6 in this beginner's chase and turned over Mythbuster. Now, Mythbuster jumped the last, three or four fences quite poorly, I thought, and might well have won with a better round. But Mr. Cleese is making quite good progress as a chaser now, and had some useful forming handicap hurdles last season. So I'll be keeping an eye on him when he goes into handicaps.
Okay, excellent. So there's all your takeouts from this weekend's action. We're going to take a quick pause now, but stick with us so we can look through Clonmel's card.
So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. And tomorrow's location that we're going to be looking at is Clonmel. There's plenty of racing there to get stuck into. The first race we're going to look at is a 2 mile maiden hurdle at 2 o'clock. And last year, this race was won by Animix. Do you remember that horse? Famed for being the sort of talking horse for the Supreme for a couple of years. But this year, the one to decide with could well be another mix in Farmix. I believe that's the current favourite for Liz Doyle and Donna Myler. Darren, I'll just go over to you first because I believe you've got a couple of offers.
Yeah, look, just with the what it's being constrained, just Irish racing, Maddie, you know, we're really ramping up offers for all Paddy Power customers. So every day we're going to have a money back special if you're a horse, a second, third or fourth in one race a day. We're going to have extra places in two races every day and a power-up offer every day. So if you have a 10 quid bet on a race, you get a free power-up to boost the price of one of your future selections. So it's while the racing is probably quieter than it normally would be, it's a good time to have your bet with Paddy Power at the same time.
There we go then. Fantastic. DJ, I'll go to you first. Clonmel, if punters are looking at the card for the first time, having not seen it before, what advice would you give to someone betting at Clonmel? What's the track like? Where do you need to be? What advice can you give us?
It's reasonably similar to Thurles when you're watching the race. There is a long, long run from the third last to the second last on both tracks. And that's really where races are won or lost. It's quite a steep uphill climb to the line. You need to stay. You don't, especially on this ground, it's soft to heavy. You know, you're not going to be flying home. It's tough work after the last when ground gets like this. But yeah, when people are watching it, they'll think it's pretty similar to Thurles, I'd imagine.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you very much. This Farmix has had both of his starts at the track over the course and distance so far. So I'm sure that's going to be in his favour. If I could push you for a selection, DJ, who would it be?
Yeah, I thought this was fairly straightforward. I thought Flory Webb would win for Henry de Bromhead. I don't know if there's any prices at the minute, but this is one that I'd imagine they'll probably open up around 7-4, 2-1 type of thing, and I could actually see it going off odds on. I really could. Like, it ran in a point first time out at Boris House, and it was, I think, I watched the replay, and it was about 4 or 5 lengths up at the last when it fell. The race was won by Vinny's Getaway, who actually won a bumper for Ollie Murphy at Stratford this season. So the form of that looks strong. Made its racecourse debut in a maiden hurdle at Cork, won by Turnpike Trip. Now that form looks really, really good. Although it was beaten 16 lengths, the second horse, Galazzo, has been a bit disappointing recently. But I just think Henry's tend to come on for it. Obviously, it was a long, long time ago. It's been off since last July. But the point form combined with the form behind Turnpike Trip, I think that's really strong. I think he'll go off quite short and I think he'll win. That's Flory Webb.
That's very interesting because I'm just looking on racingpost.com now and you can get 9-2 about Flory Webb with William Hill, 7-4 with Bet365. So you think that's a bonkers price?
9-2, is that what you said?
Unless our website's lying to us yet. 9-2 with William Hill, 7-4 with Bet365.
Won't go off 9-2 anyway, that's for sure.
There you go. So the nuggets of information you get from these podcasts, not to be overlooked. G-Rod, did you pick a horse in this one?
Yeah, I mean, one of the little known facts about me is that I have actually been to Clonmel. DJ might remember it. DJ might remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got to be 3 or 4 years ago now when I happened to be down in Cork with my in-laws and bumped into the O'Learys of Florida Pell fame. They had a runner at Clonmel and invited me to come up and spend the day with them watching their horse run called, I think it was called Merry Night at the time, went off long odds on for the bumper and was very disappointing and never ever ran again. So I was not a very lucky mascot for the O'Learys and they've never invited me back, so I don't blame them. Clonmel, I always think it's a bit of a front runner's track It's very difficult to make ground from the rear there. So I will be following him in a favourite here, Farmix, who is a front runner and attempted to make all at the track last time. Was only run down late by Grody Rover. And I think he can make all in the opener.
Okay, so two different votes then in this maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Darren, who are you going to go for?
I thought this is very straightforward as well, but I didn't come down on either of the two lads' picks. I think Coola Park here is near enough to one to beat. He's only ever really run one bad race in his life, and that was at Navan on very soft ground, the Maiden Hurdle. But before that, he finished second behind Galazzo in a bumper last May in Ballinrobe. That's only Midland form. He ran badly in Down Royal, not Navan. His run in Navan was actually excellent. It was probably one of the hottest Maiden Hurdles run in Ireland this year. Longhouse Poet won it. Colin McFire was second. Opposite the Track was third. Even at Aaron's Day, who's since won twice, back in seventh place. The front four of the first eight have won 10 races between them since this race has gone off, and he wasn't actually beaten all that far, only 12 lengths. Ran poorly down at Down Royal the next time out. But even then, last day in Goran, he was beaten by 19 lengths by an Ergame of William Mullins, who was sent off 1-5. And the reason I think he was beaten so far because he tried to keep tabs on him throughout. You know, he actually tried to go and win the race as opposed to run into a place. This is a lot weaker than either of them two contests here tomorrow. And I actually reckon he could be a decent each way price. He could be hopefully 4-1 or 9-2, depending on where you have your bet. If he's out of the front three, I will eat my hat, and I actually fancy him to win the race. Yeah, tongue tie added as well to help him travel through his races better. So Coola Park for Gordon Elliott and Keith Donough.
Fantastic. So three different votes then, all sound quite confident. It'll be interesting to see who comes out on top. The second race is at 2:30 and it's over 2 miles, 2.5 furlongs. It's another Maiden Hurdle, and the Dempseys look to hold the key in this with Cossa Ban. He's the current favourite with some firms. Darren, just talk through this race. What was your feeling about it?
Yeah, this is absolutely shocking. It's probably the worst race in the card near enough. Jesus Christ. The one I came down on was Cossa Ban, but like barely. I thought she was going to give Future Proof a bit of a race in Goran the last day. She kind of steadily improved. She's decent form line, solid test in that Thurles bumper as well. She was beaten out of sight now, but well, 20 lengths, but this is really, really poor. So if she's any sort of ability at all, I'd expect her to go very close. And yeah, she'd be my token selection here.
Okay, DJ, anything to add to that?
I thought Cossa Ban was the most likely winner. That probably would have been her best run by a considerable margin. Future Proof is a decent flat horse and probably would have been beaten, but would have got within 3 or 4 lengths of Future Proof. One that interests me at a bigger price, Elusive Star. Very interesting to see Michael Harrigan booking Puppy Power to ride this. Like, not usually a jockey, you know, usually he uses smaller jockeys. And I just thought Elusive Star, there was definitely some signs of promise in a bumper at Goran Park. Finished fourth, was beaten a long way, but it did make eye-catching progress at one stage, kind of coming out of the back straight, really wide on the outside. And just thought it was very interesting to see Puppy book for Elusive Star. So I give that a shot each way, Elusive Star.
It's interesting you say that, because I looked at this race and I thought exactly the same. And I was looking to see if there was any sort of fancy statistic about Robbie Power having a good strike rate for the trainer. And it turns out he's yet to ride a winner for him, I don't think. Oh. So that didn't help us out, DJ. But I agree with you. Was something that caught the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Pity. That would have been nice if that backed it up.
We're always on the lookout for these little stats, aren't we? G-Rod, go on then. Who are you going for?
very difficult race, nearly impossible. I thought She's All Vintage might be slightly too good for them. This guy who's riding, DJ, what's his first name? E. Walsh.
Is
he related to Ruby?
No. He's from. He actually wrote Colin McFire, who fell at the last in the Martin Pipe. Really good.
He's very good, isn't he?
Yeah. He's been a bit unlucky lately. Like he was just beaten on one at Denpatrick on Sunday as well. And obviously Colin McFire. I don't think he did anything wrong, Colin McFire, looking at it again. The horse shouldn't have fallen at all. So he's a good lad.
Yeah, I bet Colin McFire. That was one of my lowlights of the festival. A terrible way to end the day, because I'm certainly would have won. The horse that he was with ended up capitulating, getting beaten by Indefatigable. So I'd be going with Owen Walsh's mount. He's claimed £7, he's well worth it, and that might just be enough to win this on She's All Vintage.
Okay, fantastic. We'll move on to the 3 o'clock then, which is over 2 miles and it's a handicap hurdle. Again, pretty lowly stuff this, Darren.
It is, it's not great, Maddie. We are paying 5 places on this race if there's more than 16 runners, so you have every chance of hitting the frame. There's a horse in here that has broken my heart on multiple occasions, and that's Shantou Sisu for Mr. Lanigan. How this horse hasn't won a race over hurdles yet, I have absolutely no idea. And I don't even think there's an attitude issue. I just think he's been kind of unfortunate various times. I hope the book and the Danny Mullins kind of signifies that the big run is expected. I have this thing. I think it can run to about 100, and it's right. So it would look very well in off America of 89. Last few runs in particular, very, very strong. Hard to know what price it's going to be. It could be short enough in a big field, which, you know, would kind of be off-putting. But I'd expect it to run very, at least kind of hit the frame again, but hopefully finally get its head in front.
Okay, fingers crossed then. DJ, anything to catch your eye in this one?
This is shocking. This is the equivalent of me, Darren and Graham running a race. It's really, really bad.
Who would win on that?
How would you price that up?
I don't know. That would be interesting to do a tissue on that, all right. Depends on the distance, I suppose.
Yeah.
Look, you don't laugh at me, I think.
You're a soft ground creature, DJ.
I think, Maddie, you'd be long odds on, I think.
Definitely.
Shantou Sisu is a front runner who possibly can run to America in the mid-90s and probably will win. But if it doesn't win this, it'll never win. So, yeah, maybe Shantou Sisu, but I wouldn't be backing it.
Okay, and G-Rod.
Yeah, I always like my running style a bit like Don Poley or Just So, or one of those like really slow, dour, grinding, staying types. You know, I mean, I can run long distances, but very slowly. So it depends on the distance on that one. But Shantou Sisu last time out, 1 mile at the track. I backed this horse in running because, like I said, I do like to back front runners at Clonmel. And I just couldn't believe that he got beat. He got beat a short head. I've been led virtually the whole way, and the horse that beat him shopping around just sort of cut across him and took his ground on the rail, and then he had to switch left. And once he switched left, Shantou Sisu was coming right back at the line, rallying really well, and just lost out by a short head. I mean, if he could have kept his position on the rail, he would surely have won that day, and I think he's the right favourite, but he's not the tip for me. I thought one of the better bets of the day, if it was possible in this race, was Charlotte Wells. For Philip Rothwell, because there was a big eye catcher at the track last time out over the course and distance in a mare's race, in the same race, I think, as that shopping around won that race and then went on to beat Shantou Sisu. So the form is fairly strong. And if you watch this race back, Charlotte Wells is in not a great position for a race at Clonmel, right towards the rear early, makes really good ground off the home bend and is flying at the finish to finish 5.5 lengths behind the winner in fifth. As I say, the winner has gone on to win again since and beat Shantou Sisu last time out, so we know that form is fairly strong. And we've got Hugh Morgan on board claiming seven as well, so that's no bad thing. So Charlotte Wells for me in the 3 o'clock.
Okay, the 3:30 is a beginner's chase and some familiar colours at last in this one. Empire Burleck is in here for Gordon Elliott, Keith Donoghue and Gigginstown House Stud. Scrolling down, we can see that Elliott actually won this race back in 2017. What can you tell us about this form in this race, DJ?
Yeah, you say there's familiar colours on Empire Burleck, but there's also very familiar colours on the horse I fancy, Bits and Pieces, who is owned by Brian Sweetenham. Can you tell me the famous horse that he owned?
I'm just having a look. It wasn't like Rebel Fitz, was it?
It was Rebel Fitz, yeah, very good. I just think Bits and Pieces, if it's ever going to win over fences, it's going to be this day, and I think tactics would be different here. Simon Torrens, who gave a horse in Denpatrick on Sunday a terrific ride, is good value for a £7 claim. He's been run over much further. Like, he was beaten about 20 lengths last time at Clonmel over 2.5 miles, but he actually traded quite short in running. He looked a big player turning in. I think he hit a low of 2-1 in running that day after travelling quite well, and he just didn't quite get home. Now, it could be that he's just a soft finisher and he could have wind issues, but I just think if they bomb out, try to make all, make use of his stamina on this ground. He's ran very well at this track on a number of occasions. And like, he's rated 115 with Simon Torrens a £7 claim. Like, that brings him up to roughly around 120. I don't know. I just think this is his day. He might be a bit slow for 2 miles, but I think if he turns it into a stamina test, he's going to win. So Bits and Pieces for me.
Yeah, we're talking about popular colours. I noticed he's trained by Mick Winters, popular trainer. Didn't he have a mare called Miss United a couple of years ago? She sort of was fantastic, wasn't she? Enjoyed following her along on the flat. Anyway, Darren, Bits and Pieces, are you going to be siding with the 11-year-old?
We are actually money back on this race, up to a tenner if you're second, third or fourth. So again, I'll say that first of all. I actually have the exact same thing in my notes here as DJ. Like, if this horse doesn't win over fences tomorrow, I don't know whether he'll ever win a race over fences. Now, In saying that, there was just another one that caught my eye, currently a reserve in the shape of Dawson's Gate for Eddie Harty. This horse has improved hand over fist, run for run over hurdles. You know, it looks to be one of those that just, you know, starts off very slow and comes on gradually. You know, beating 12 lengths for an open handicap hurdle at Navan the last day, but I thought that was a decent effort. Currently in here is first reserve. Now, I'm going to say hold off here, because JP has another one in there in the shape of Fox Lavelle for Liz Doyle. Now, if you see that come out to let this Dawson's Gate in, that to me could be a signal that it's off tomorrow. So it might be interesting. Like, I'm breeding, it should improve. Like, if it improves again for fences, he's already rated 107 over hurdles. If he improves again for fences, I'd say he could be banged there, and he might be a decent price initially anyway before being backed. So I'm going to hold fire here and see if Dawson's Gate does actually get into the race, and if he does, that'll be my selection.
Okay, so watch and wait on that one. G-Rod, anything to add?
Yeah, it was a strange old race, that race that Bits and Pieces ran in last time behind Pounder Stroke. There's another race where Pounder Stroke just got an easy lead and was able to make all. And the horse that was second, Young Dev, looked like it was going to be in massive danger over the last couple of fences, and then just went wildly to the left at both of them and basically handed the victory to Pounder Stroke. Now, Bits and Pieces turning from, as DJ was saying, just travelled so well. Going down in trip here to 2 mile half furlong around this track, like DJ says, I'm expecting them to jump him out in front, and I wouldn't want to be taking him on if they do, because this looks quite a weak race, and I'll be surprised if anything can catch him. But as we've said, he does have a habit of finding a way to get beat, so let's hope he doesn't do that again tomorrow.
Okay, from a weak race to definitely something, well, a lot stronger than that anyway. The 4 o'clock is, again, a chase over 2 miles and 4 furlongs, worth nearly €18,000. And some really classy horses in here. Bacchuson, he ran quite an eye-catching race at the Cheltenham Festival last time, I thought. Death Duty, he's been coming back to the Boyle Mortal discordantly, and Bonbon O'Miel as well. DJ, just talk us through who you fancy in this race.
I think the most likely winner is Bacchuson. You know, one stage was rated 159 over fences, and you know, that was a cracking run in a really good Coral Cup. Finished sixth, didn't get the clearest of runs in between the second last and the last, and I thought was value for finishing a little bit closer. That was a really good run, I thought, and ground will be fine for Bacchuson. And you know, he's the one that was basically almost a grade one chaser, and will probably win. The one that I think will be overpriced when betting comes out is Mortal, who is gradually just getting there. Gradually. It's been a very gradual process. If you remember, this was the horse who finished fifth in the really good RSA behind Top of the Game, Santini, Delta Work. And it was the one that was upside some on the inside at the second last and just got a little bit tired. It's taken a while for Mortal to find his form, but I thought the run at Leopardstown last time was much, much more like it. It was much better for Mortal. Made a mistake at the last, would have been closer only for that. Went with Gundigger from the second last to the last. And at the prices, I just about side with Mortal. I don't fancy Death Duty, because after having 2 years off, three really quick runs, including one at the Cheltenham Festival, I think they're just biting off a bit more than they can chew with Death Duty. So at the prices, I'm going to chance Mortal.
Okay, interesting contender, Mortal. Darren, what do you reckon?
I thought this was relatively straightforward. I've always been a massive fan of Bacchuson for William Mullins, and he missed a little bit of time. I actually half fenced him for that Gold Cup, the Native River one. He fell at the first, sent off a big price, and then, you know, kind of missed a little bit of time after that. I thought his two comeback runs in Navan and at Cheltenham there last week, 2 weeks ago, behind Dam de Compagnie, and I thought they were both very promising. And I've always kind of held him in higher regard as a chaser than a hurdler. So I'd expect him to win this tomorrow relatively easy. He's getting a bit of weight off the top as well. So Bacchuson for Ollie probably will be a sharp price.
Yeah, he's not really had a chance to properly go for a full season, has he, it seems, in quite a while. He's been quite bad, had a lot of bad luck with injuries. And G-Rod, finally, this good contest, who are you going to side with?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because they do this a lot in Ireland, but not so much in Britain. And, you know, mixing chasing and hurdling seems to be quite common over in Ireland. But you don't see it so much in Britain. But Bacchuson, obviously, is the class act in the race. But for me, I don't like horses that are switching chasing, hurdling, chasing. It doesn't always float my boat. So given that he's odds on, or going to be around about odds on, he looks like a beatable favourite to me. Death Duty, I'm not sure about. He's obviously had loads of ability a few years ago. What, 2017 was it now? But not sure about him. And the Mortal was in my 10 to follow. We have a 10 to follow competition, don't we, in the Racing Post internally. And Malta was in my 10 to follow in that until the very, very last minute when I chucked him out, which hasn't been a bad decision because he hasn't shown a heck of a lot this season so far. But like DJ said, a bit better last time out when beaten 12 lengths behind Gundigger at Leopardstown. And Gundigger didn't run too badly in that Dogs Grand National. He finished third or fourth yesterday. And again, another jockey that's caught my eye and plenty of others, Oakley Brown. I think he was a good rider on the flat over in Britain for a while. Maybe weight has forced him over to the jumping game. He's fantastic value for £7. So, all talk for me.
He was Richard Fahey.
He was.
Didn't he do ride a horse to finish, win like an Air Bronze Cup or something like that? That's what I have in my mind.
That seems to ring a bell. I remember him winning a few big sprints anyway, and you couldn't get much different, could you, in this 2 mile, 4 furlong chase around heavy ground around Clonmel.
Exactly. Okay, so Bacchuson is the favourite, but our tipsters think that Mortal could offer a bit of value. That's all we're going to look at from Clonmel, but stick with us because we're just going to have a quick chat before we leave you about the action at Dundalk on Wednesday.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast then. And before we leave you, we're going to have a quick look at the card at Dundalk on Wednesday. Some really interesting horses entered, actually. Darren, what are you most looking forward to?
Two horses that kind of caught my eye, Maddie, on the card. In the half tree, there's the horse of Jim Bulger's called Agitaire. He's one of these horses that Jim has just decided to run in graded races, even though it hasn't actually won its maiden yet. He was only beaten 3 lengths by Moldle in a grade 2 at Leopardstown. He went out and got beaten in a maiden immediately after that by Celtic High King. But I think even that form is well above what you might expect to run around Dundalk at this time of the year. So if he can't get off the mark tomorrow, I'd say he's one to give up on. And, you know, he might open up around even money mark. And then at 3 o'clock tomorrow, there's a 1.5 handicap and long arm for Ger Alliance. He's so far unbeaten. He beat his better fancy stablemate Invasion Day and Gorin last July before being stepped up to 1.5 around Dundalk last October, and he won that well at a decent price. So he might be interesting to keep an eye on tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic. DJ, Dundalk, what takes your fancy?
Yeah, I'm going to take Darren on in the 3:30. I thought Kipling was really interesting here. Don't forget, this is the son of Galileo. He's a brother to Seventh Heaven, who won the Irish Oaks. And this was second to Lupi Fernandez on its debut at the Curragh in a decent maiden. Obviously, Lupi Fernandez was the horse to finish second to Pinatubo in the Chesham at Royal Ascot. And then it went to Newmarket next time. And it was sent off favoured and made the running in a 7 furlong maiden. Al Suhail was second for Charlie Appleby. And I'd imagine Kipling, given an extra few months over the winter, I'd imagine Kipling will turn out to be fairly decent. So I know Agitaire has got the rating of 100, but he's got to give weight, I think, maybe he doesn't have to give weight to Kipling. But I just thought Kipling could be an interesting 3-year-old this year for Aidan O'Brien. And then in the second race, in the 2 mile handicap, looking back to my favourite race at the festival, the Boodles, which is won by Aramax, Tronador, who finished fourth there for Gordon Elliott, he runs in this as well. Actually, he didn't finish fourth, he actually finished ninth. But he runs here, which I thought was quite interesting, because they really did fancy Tronador in that race. Wasn't beaten that far, finished ninth, but he could be interesting in the 2:30.
Brilliant. So we're straddling this time between flat and jumps. A couple of horses are doing the same. And G-Rod, what do you like to look of at Dundalk?
Yeah, I mean, I was working on the Price Was column yesterday and just run out a few statistics of trainers who do well at this time of year. And Dermot World was high up on the list. And I just noticed he's got two runners in the maiden at Dundalk, entered on foot in the 4 o'clock. And one of them is accompanied, whose dam is unaccompanied, who was... very smart mare over hurdles. I think she won the big race over Christmas, the hurdle there at Leopardstown 1 year. Certainly a grade one winning hurdler. So it'll be interesting to see if accompanied can translate mum's ability on the flat in that maiden. But Dermot World also has Midnight Sunshine entered in the same race for the same owners. And you would guess that... both of them won't run. So if a company doesn't turn up, then I would expect Midnight Sunshine to do the business in the 4 o'clock. But whichever one runs for Dermot World, I'll be keeping a close eye on that.
Yeah, I must admit, I loved that unaccompanied when she was racing. Really good dual-purpose mare, wasn't she, with plenty of talent. Right, thanks, gents, for your time. I believe that's all we've got time for today. Hopefully, everyone at home is staying indoors and staying healthy, and we'll see you soon. Best of luck with wherever you're watching racing or betting this week.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.